I'm going to introduce Lori.
Hi, guys. Hello.
By the way, open your hearts to receive. We've got a good word here today.
Amen.
Anyway, we've been in a series called Life-Giving Practices, and we're going to talk about abiding in the Lord and hearing His voice today. Amen?
Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about today. He just kind of told you right there. Today is about the life-giving practice of hearing God's voice and abiding in the Lord. Amen. So let's just pray really quick. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that you call and knock on all of our hearts this morning, and that the invitation has gone out this morning, and those that are here have heard it and have responded. And so I pray, Father, that our hearts and our eyes and our ears, everything would be open to your word and to your spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you felt the presence of God this morning when Pastor stepped off. I sure did. And didn't Gladys and Eleanor sound like angels for me? I had to open my eyes. I'm like, is that Eleanor and Gladys? Wow, I thought it was angelic host had come to visit us. So I believe that that's the presence that is going to be right now, all the way to the altar. And that this altar this morning is going to be flooded full of mercy. And Pastor already said that, so we're just tracking right along because we're abiding in the Lord. So what I hear, He hears, and what you hear, we hear. You see how that works? We're going to talk about that this morning. So when I first found out that I was going to talk about this particular topic, the Lord gave me a picture, and the picture was of this little flower. And the flower was standing upright, and there was a storm. And the flower was moving back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I'm going to be honest, I got really sad when I saw that. And I was like, Lord, is that me? Is that me? It was just a flower standing all by itself, all alone. And it was just going back and forth and back. And I'm like, am I always going to be in a storm? Is that me? So I went on for a couple days thinking it was all about me and I was in a storm, poor me. And then the Lord speaks to me through my imagination and pictures. It's been like that since I've been a little child. The Lord will speak to you the way He created you. Some men He speaks to when they're out in nature, and women in nature. And some men it's in science and the exactness of things. And that's the way God's created us. He speaks to me with pictures and imagination because that's the way He made me. So it's kind of nice to have that relationship with Him. And I'm sure you can tell me exactly how He speaks to you as well. So as He was showing me the picture of the little flower, I went back and I revisited thinking that I was going to be sad again because the little flower's in the storm and it's me and I'm always in a storm and whoa. And this time He said, don't look at the storm. Look at the flower. So I focused my vision on the flower, and the flower was in full bloom. The flower's little petals were vibrant in color. And it wasn't going anywhere. It just was flowing back and forth with the wind. And then I realized it's really not about me. It's really about all of us. And the reason that it wasn't breaking off or flying off into oblivion is because it was connected. It was abiding. And so as I saw the flower, then I realized it's really not just me. It's all of us. And it's for the message this morning that you can thrive and bloom in the midst of the storm because of who you're connected to. So when I looked at the petals, weren't even blowing in the wind. They were just completely there. And then I even got another perspective a few days later that the flower, the little flower was, maybe the perspective of the flower was just able to bend and move with the elements and the wind, and it was unaffected by the storm that was around it. Maybe the little flower was like, woo, this is awesome. You know, maybe it gets to that place where it's like, whoa, I'm gonna rejoice in trials. Woo, look at me. Because it's who they're connected to. So we're going to talk about the first point. I'm going to read out of Matthew 15:1, and I don't know if we have it up or there. We don't worry about it. I'm going to read out of the easy-to-read version, mainly because it's easy to read, okay? It's that profound. Matthew 15:1 says, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not. I think it's Matthew 2, isn't it? Am I wrong? Will someone look that up? Because I am curious. I thought it was in Matthew and John, but look it up anyways. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. He also trims every branch that produces fruit to prepare it to produce even more. You have already been prepared to produce more fruit by the teaching I have given you. Stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. No branch can produce fruit alone. It must stay connected to the vine. It is the same with you. You cannot produce fruit alone. You must stay joined to me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you stay joined to me and I to you, you will produce plenty of fruit. But separated from me, you won't be able to do anything. If you don't stay joined to me, you will be like a branch that has been thrown out and has dried up. All the dead branches like that are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Stay joined together with me and follow my teachings. If you do this, you can ask anything that you want, and it'll be given to you. Show that you are followers by producing much fruit. This will bring honor to my Father. Thank you, Lord. I just pray that your word, Father, goes forth today in the name of Jesus. The first point that I'm going to make is it's about connection. It's about staying connected. So there's, did we find it? Is it only in John? It's just in John? Oh, that's so wild how that happened. I apologize. John 15:1 though, right? Oh, okay. Whew. Typo. Sorry about that. Thank you, Pastor. So it's about staying connected. So there's something that I absolutely, it's a household chore that I absolutely despise doing. And the reason that I despise it is because I'm not very good at it. Okay, so I absolutely despise it. Now I can vacuum, I can wash dishes, I can dust, I can do all that stuff. But I am really challenged at when the garden hose is wrapping the garden hose back up so that's on that little gadget, okay? I've done everything to help me in the skill set. I have bought all the gadgets you can buy. You can come up and you can talk to me about how easy it is and how you can do it, and I'm really proud of you, but I cannot do it, and I'm okay with it, okay? I'm okay that I cannot wrap the garden hose. So I have compromised, and I bought one of those big containers, those Rubbermaid containers, and what I do is I just coil it around in there so that it stays inside, and you know what? That's the best I can do, and I'm at peace with it. That is my absolute excellence right there. Coiling it in there, and I leave it there, but it stays connected. So I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're hosing off the car, there's something that'll happen sometimes, and there'll be like something will stop. You'll either be caught on a tire, or it's somehow the connection gets a kink in it, and all of a sudden the flow stops. And a lot of that is kind of like the flow of the Holy, of how God speaks to us. So you go, it would be really preposterous for us to call the water company and tell the water company that there's something wrong with the water. If there's all of a sudden the flow stops, I have to follow the line back and I find the kink in the connection. Then I straighten out the kink in the connection and then the flow comes. But it would be really kind of a crazy thing to call the water company to go to the source and start complaining that the source is not working. That there's really no water coming from the water company. What would they say? And then it's just as preposterous if we would take the garden hose that's connected and say there's something wrong with the hose. I just need to throw it out. I don't know. I just need to throw that hose out. That would be just as preposterous. No, what you have to do is you stop what you're doing and you work your way back and you find the kink in the connection and then you straighten it out, right? It's the same with hearing the Lord. There's nothing wrong with the source. He's flowing all the time. There's nothing wrong with the hose. You're connected. What's wrong is you have a kink in your connection. So stop blaming the source. Stop giving up on yourself and start going back and finding the kink in the connection and let the Lord straighten it out. And sometimes you need a friend to help you straighten it out. Amen. Sometimes, I don't know about you, I'm in a hurry and I'm the right tire. I'm always going to get stuck on that obstacle. I don't know why. I just got a bent to it. I'm in a hurry. I don't want to take my time to go over there and jerk it out. And sometimes you have to stop what you're doing, because what we can do is we can get really, really comfortable with just getting a little bit of a trickle out. Oh, I'll settle for it. It's good enough. And we'll just settle for that. I don't want to settle for that. I want the full flow of the source. I want the full benefits of what I'm connected to. Because when you're connected to that, your petals will bloom and you will not be shaken and you will just flow. Woo! Because of who you're connected to. So go back and check the kink in your connection. Don't throw out the hose. And don't curse the source. Find the kink in your connection. And if you can't find it, ask someone to help you. Holy Spirit, help me. His sheep hear his voice. Amen. The second point is you got to recognize who the gardener is. This is important. Because I don't know about you, but when I see pruning shears coming at me, I'm thinking that ain't the gardener. Get behind me, Satan, right? So here's the thing. I'm the vine and you're the branches. Separated from him, we can't do anything. It says that the Father is the gardener and he cuts off every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, does not produce fruit. And he trims or prunes every branch that does produce fruit to prepare to produce more fruit. Well, that's really interesting, because you could be like, well, I'm really glad I'm not a Christian. I don't want to be pruned and all that. No, you'll just be cut completely off. And when you cut a branch completely off, it's all the lost potential. And I think about, like, I think sometimes about my mom. She's got a real green thumb. So anything that I get that's a living plant, I usually give to her. I can't even imagine that I kept my dog alive for this long. But I think he knows. He knows that I have some weaknesses, so he kind of, like, stays close to me and says, food. I mean, I'll even hear the bowl when it's empty. I'll hear him, like, carrying it around, and he drops it, like, and it goes, you know. It's like, oh, he needs to be fed. So he's really smart, and I'm really glad, because if not, he probably would be dead, all right? So my mom is a real green thumb, and she would have these little plants in these containers, and they just look dead. And she's like, well, I don't know what I should do with that. And I'm like, well, I know what you should do with it. Just pitch it, because what do I know? And she always kind of, I felt bad for her, because there'd be like a sorrow in her heart, because she knew its potential. She knew if she just nurtured it a little bit, it would thrive. She saw its future. So the gardener takes no pleasure in cutting off the branch, because it's lost potential. It's lost potential. It's like throwing out a garden hose. It's a perfectly good hose. There's nothing wrong with it. It's lost potential. But it chooses not to produce any fruit. It chooses not to really abide. And then, so either way, whether you're cut off or you're cut into, you're going to be cut. And so this is really interesting about, there's two types of plants. So we're going to stick on this this whole garden theme. There's two types of branches that need to be removed, that need to be pruned. And one of the branches that needs to be pruned is the one that's growing in the wrong direction. And all you gardeners out there know that. And I'm not talking about other, you all know that I'm not talking about you thinking about other people's tree. You're thinking about your own vine right here. Okay. Because it's really easy to say, oh yeah, Terry, she needs that thing right off. I'm talking about yourself now. Okay. Oh, I just want to make sure we're clear about that. So it grows in the wrong direction, and when it grows in the wrong direction, it actually blocks the sun from the new little buds that want to be produced. It blocks the sunlight. It can cause disease, because what it does is when it's growing in the wrong direction, it rubs the branches and can cause disease. And they also block out the sunlight that is needed for the flower buds to form. So you can't even be fruitful if your branch is growing in the wrong direction. Because it'll block out the light, and it will snuff out the life of the little tiny bud that's growing. That's why we need to be pruned. That's why we need to be trimmed. Not because we have to be so... Well, here's the thing. Pastor Laura, you're just saying God's wanting perfection. You know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. Yeah, he is. He's looking for perfection. But let me just reassure you that it's already been sent. Not only was he looking for it, he created it, and he sent his son to be the perfect sacrifice. And as long as we're abiding in him and staying connected in him, we are perfect. Because everything that Jesus is flows up to us, and everything that we are flows down to him. And it's a connection, a constant connection. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't have that constant connection, then there's a kink in your hose. And if you don't have a constant connection, then there's some kind of branch that's growing in the wrong direction, and it's blocking out the light of Jesus Christ, and it's blocking out the truth of God's word, and it's trying to snuff out the little tiny bit of fruit that you can possibly produce. The second one is really interesting. It's actually called this. The other branch is called the sucker branch. That shoots out beneath the graft. These branches are incredibly dangerous. Now, I'm not even reading this from any Christian. I'm reading this from science, okay? These branches are incredibly dangerous to the life of the whole tree. They literally suck the life and drain strength and energy from the tree and unto themselves. And the tree will often die. And funny enough, it kind of grows out where the bloom could possibly grow. It's like your flesh has sprouted a branch. And left unpruned, it will drain the very, very life of you. So if you've ever had anybody betray you, if you've ever been misunderstood, if you've ever been packed full of fear, if you name it, you can just name the little thing that can sprout right outside of you. And hasn't it drained the life out of you? Haven't you woke up in the middle of the night and you're worried sick about your bank account and all of a sudden you have no strength? Right? It's a sucker branch. And it says that if you don't catch it right away, it'll grow. It'll grow and it'll actually become its own little tree now. It'll become its own little force and it'll take the very essence of who you really are. And that's why we need the pruning shears of our loving Father, because he knows if he doesn't get that right away, And here's the message for you today. Don't resist the gardener. Because we can really not recognize him when he's coming. Because all we see is those sharp little pruning shears. And this has happened to me. Even recently. It was an old pain thing. From a long time ago. I didn't realize it. It had started to sprout out a little place. And so when God was coming to take care of it, all I saw was pain. And I'm like, God, no, I'm not. Back off, Satan, right now in the name of Jesus. Get behind me. I saw these shears are coming. And it actually does cause a wound when he removes that. It does cause a wound. It says that the tree gets wounded. But the way that the gardener comes and the way that he removes it is in such a perfectionist way, in such a right way that he creates it so that the very salve will begin to heal the wound. And that's what our loving Father does. But we can resist him because of the pain of it. But once I found out that God was wanting to prune that area of my life and that it really truly was him, the Father, he really truly was the gardener, then I'm like, in the name of Jesus, Lord, please. Then I didn't resist him anymore. But before that, I was like, get out. That's painful. I'm not going to look at that. But if you don't look at it, if you don't allow it to be pruned from your life, it will take over. It'll drain the very essence of your life, and you'll be completely unfruitful. Thank you, Lord. It's not what God is trying to get from you at all. It's all about what the Father wants to give to you. It's all about the flow that he wants. Oh, God just wants to take stuff from you. He wants to take stuff, so he wants to give you something. And he can't give you the essence of his life if there's a kink in your connection, if you got branches going in the wrong direction, or if you have a wound or an unforgiveness or whatever you want to put the name onto that's sucking the very life out of you. God wants to flow something to you, not take anything away from you. So what does he want to flow through me? He wants to flow that I can bloom in the midst of a storm. That's what he wants to give to you. That when you're connected, you can bloom in the midst of a storm, and there's nothing that can overtake you. That's why Jesus said you can ask anything, because you're completely connected. Completely connected. And so here's the thing. It says that he's looking for fruit. And many times we don't recognize him as the gardener, that he's actually trimming those branches so that we can produce real authentic fruit. And we've talked about this before. I think I've mentioned this before, that God wants to move in such a way that's so real and authentic that if you're not real and authentic, you won't be able to handle it. You won't be able to manage it. So it's all about the fruit. So I have a little object lesson here for you. And I have this fruit bowl. And I'm going to put it up front here. I don't know if all this is going to stay. It depends how crazy I get up here. But I'll try to behave myself, okay? Now, the fruit, from Nick's point of view, from his point of view, the farther away you are, the more real the fruit looks. There's a mixture in here. There's some plastic, and then there's some real. And so when you're farther away, you can't tell what's real and what's not real, what's imitation. You really can't tell. You can't tell till you really get close enough to it, and you start to handle it. And when you start to handle it, you can kind of tell, oh, I thought that was real, but oh, no, that's not real. Oh, but there's some bruises on this one, so this one, okay, this one's real, this one's not. And there's a big difference. This is us, okay? This is our fruit bowl. This is who we are. And plastic fruit, I would say, would be an imitation fruit. It looks like everything that it's supposed to be. It comes off like, you know what, this is fruit. This looks real. This looks real to me. It's a picture of the lukewarm church. Plastic fruit is when you're trying to do life on your own and you want to walk out Christianity in your own terms. And it looks like real fruit, but it's not. It doesn't have anything in it of real substance. And it looks right, it says all the right things, but it does what it wants to do, and it abides in the vine when it's convenient. It jumps in and out of being connected at a whim of self-will, self-gratification, and convenience. Real fruit is real. Real fruit says, you know what, I have some bruises, and I don't mind telling you about them. People are tired and discouraged of coming in and not seeing real bruises on real people. Okay? I've been wounded. I've been hurt. You know what? I'm not perfect, but you know what? I stay connected to the one that is. But we're talking about, we're not hiding. You know, the thing is, what happens is we can really hide all the fake and all the pretend and all the plastic down there. And there's a couple good ones up here, and we kind of make ourselves look all right there. But when the pressure's on, and the heat comes on, and the force comes on, then the plastic fruit is going to melt. It's never going to last. It'll melt. But the real fruit actually transforms. Because if I put pressure on this apple right now, I can make applesauce. If I put heat on this apple, I can make apple juice. So it still transforms. But all the nourishment is still in. It's still the fruit. It's still fruit. It just transforms. God wants to pour out his spirit. He wants to bring an authentic, powerful move of God. And your plastic apple, your plastic fruit's not going to be able to handle it. It'll just melt because it won't be able to handle it at all. And I want to make sure I get some points here because I don't want to jump all over. But what is real fruit? It's the fruit that remains on the vine. And it was picked at just the right season, at just the right time, when it was the ripest. Real fruit stays connected. It remains and it endures till the time was ready, and then it's picked. So real fruit, and I'm thinking today I felt like I needed to say this, that if you think there's no plastic fruit in your fruit bowl, then I'm kind of concerned for you. I am, because that means that you're not listening and that you're not allowing him to come prune you, and that you're just putting on airs and you're pretending to have it all together. You're pretending that it's plastic. I don't want to say too much because I want the Lord to speak to you. So recently I heard this prophetic message, and it was about whether you're a lukewarm Christian or not. And when I heard it, it was a prophetic word, and the gentleman was preaching or speaking this word that God had. And there's no doubt that it came from God, because everything in you was just like, oh my. And after I heard it, I immediately hit my knees. I was like, Jesus, please do not let me be lukewarm. Please, Lord, I'm bringing you my fruit bowl here. Let there not be any plastic fruit. If there is, I just give you all my plastic fruit right now. I don't even care if I have one little tiny piece of fruit in my bowl, Lord. I give you all the plastic, and all I want is the real. And I thought about that. Was that a right attitude to have? Should I just know that all my fruit's real? Should I just know that I'm not lukewarm, that I'm on fire? Should I? And then I thought about the disciples. And when it was evening, this is in Mark, and I say this cautiously, look it up. But I know this happened. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, the one who is eating with me. And they began to be sorrowful and say to one another, is it I? And I remember when I was praying about the plastic fruit and the lukewarm, is it I? Is it I? Like, these were disciples that walked with Jesus, and they were questioning, is it I? Someone's going to betray me in this room right now. Is it I? Let that sink in. We have the capability of doing that. That's why we need to stay connected. That's why we need to always be checking when the flow slows down. Where's the kink? That's why we stay connected 24/7. That's why God is merciful today. Because ready or not, here he comes. Ready or not, he's already come. I don't even know where I'm at in the spectrum of that, but I don't want to miss any of it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss any of it. Ready or not, here he is. So you need to come out from hiding, and you need to be real with yourself, with others, and with God. He wants to bring his authentic presence, and you will need to be real and authentic to receive it. He wants to pour out glory fire, and only those connected and producing real fruit will be able to be transformed by it. The others won't understand it. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't want to define that for you. So we have a lot of time. And so, Father, I pray that in your altar is full of mercy this morning, that we are already understanding that we have a kink in our connection, And that something has stopped me from hearing you, Lord. And actually, I've really settled, and I can just handle that little trickle that's coming out. I'm good with that. But today, I don't want to be good with that anymore, Lord. I want all that you have. I want the very essence of Jesus to flow through me. I want to have peace in the midst of the storm. I want all the fruits of the Spirit. I want to love when I should hate. I want to be kind when I should be bitter. I want all of those things. Listen, it doesn't take much to be offended, people. You realize that. If you go on social media for half a second, and if you sit in the cheap seats of social media, how about that? The cheap seats of social media are when you look at someone's post and you make 10 judgments about it. Oh, you might not type it in there, but if you could, you'd type this. And if you could, I'd be typing this and I'd be tweeting that. But I better not because I'm a pastor. So those are the cheap seats of social media, and it's really easy. If it causes you to stumble watching the news or listening to opinions, because they're all over the place now. I love media, and it's great because it gets the gospel out, but it's also a huge temptation to be offended, to walk in unforgiveness, to be bitter, to be full of strife, to be full of fear. So whatever you got to do to get that out of your head, I suggest you do it, because it doesn't take much to get offended these days. Amen? So, Lord, what is it that offends us? What is it that's growing out in the wrong direction? What is it that needs to be cut away? What is the thing that's draining the very life of me, Lord? And am I lukewarm? Come on. Am I lukewarm? Am I just pretending? I'm hiding all my bruises, and I'm just putting all the good stuff up there. So, you know, when I go to church, they see all that. But, you know, my kids see something completely different. But, oh, that's a whole other story. What's keeping you from staying connected? Only Jesus can meet your deepest longings. Seriously. I have learned this the hard way. But I'm learning it. Amen? Because it's every day about the connection. Thank you, Jesus, that you meet the deepest longing of our needs. And whatever you have to get straightened out this morning, and I pray that the mercy of God has flooded this altar. I felt it as soon as Pastor stepped down off the platform, and the mercy of God is released all over this place. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would allow the Lord to help you work the kinks out, to get connected. If you're not connected right now, come on. You are a branch that has great potential. If you're not connected right now in the Lord, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you, because that means that you're untapped potential. God has created you for destiny and purpose. And so I pray right now for every single person in here that's disqualifying themselves, that's saying, you know what, I'm too messed up. You're not too messed up. You're not too far gone. Come on. He's powerful. He's loving. He's kind. He knows exactly how to nurture you. He's the father of the garden. Please. Father God, we thank you that we will not resist your love anymore. And in the name of Jesus, if there's anybody in here that shame is causing you to resist his love and to resist the gardener, in Jesus' name, be released. Be released. Perfection's already come. All you have to do is get connected to it. All you have to do is get connected to it. Reconnect it. Get connected. There's nothing wrong with the water company, people. Nothing wrong with the source. Don't throw the hose out. Reconnect. Mercy this morning in the name of Jesus. Mercy, listen, ready or not, he has come. His spirit is here. Get in. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's lift our heads. This is incredible what's happening. Just lift your heads. Father God, we thank you that you see everything in our hearts and you know where the kinks are. You know what needs to be pruned. Now let's go ahead and stand together, guys. We're going to dismiss, but we are also open up the altar for ministry. Go ahead and put your hand on somebody's shoulder there just a minute. Say, Lord, bless my brother, bless my sister. Bless us in the name of Jesus. Cause the release of the things that you will have need of, that they have need of. Yes. Cause there to come the unclogging of things. Cause there to come the breakthroughs that they need. Spirit of God, fall fresh in this room. Fall fresh in this room. Come, Lord, with your delivering power, with your healing grace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now come on forward if you have need of ministry, and we're going to agree with you.